When you look into the future, what one thing just fascinates you? If you had to just say, this, I hope I'm around to see.
Absolutely. Well, I think it is the consequence of the great scientific developments of our time, especially things like molecular biology and genetics. I think we're going to change the nature of the human species. The current developments in physics that are really leading us to a really revolutionary view of the nature of reality itself. The ability to control devices at the atomic and molecular scale. So I think the scientific and technological revolution that is just barely beginning and that will transform human life as great as we've seen in the previous ones in the last century and the century before that excites me enormously.
Well, when you look at the technological advance, Peter, that we've had from the 1900 period to 2000, in terms of time, a mere 100 years. The next 100 years, that pace could be at a staggering rate, I would guess. I think that if, you know, they were starting to fly in 1900-ish, and then all of a sudden here we are in 2000, and you know, we've been to the moon and we're sending probes to other planets, I think the next 100 years, that pace might be magnified, what, five times faster than
That's
what we did?
That's not an unreasonable guess. You know, it's certainly that order of magnitude. I mean, here's just a good indicator. Okay, probably the single most important accelerator of science and technology over the last half century was the computer. It enabled all kinds of experiments to be done, mm-hmm. looking at large numbers of things, and then, of course, communicating and disseminating science around the world via the Internet. Well, we're about to go through another computer revolution as we move toward what are called quantum computers that will be on the order of 100 million to a trillion times more powerful than any computers we can even imagine of a classical
system. And probably smaller, too. Huh?
Oh, literally, at the atomic level. That's what we mean by quantum computers. These are computers operating literally at the level of single atoms.
That's just amazing. It's hard to imagine.
It is. These are computers that are extremely difficult to imagine, and employing properties like, for example, something called quantum entanglement. This was an idea actually first posed by Einstein, and then he said, oh, it can't be right. But in fact, we've now done it. And this is the idea that you can have two particles that are entangled, that is, they're in some sense, their fates are connected, and that if you do something to one particle, it is communicated instantaneously over any distance through space and time to the other particle.
Do you think there's going to be any curveballs along the way, Peter? I mean, real problems that come at us that we haven't anticipated, and I'm not talking about wars or things that man creates, but I mean some real universal problems that we just can't figure out.
Well, I think there is one that we can already see, and you know, humankind has been hit by it in the past, and that's radical climate change, abrupt climate change. That is, I think there are early signals that we could be seeing a major swing in the climate, first warmer and then much colder. And the Earth's climate has gone through these kinds of things in the past. We had a small hint of it in what's called the Little Ice Age,
mm-hmm.
from about 1300 to 1850. We had a much worse event 8,200 years ago, in which the world got much colder for a century and then stayed down for a century and then got warm again suddenly. That change happened in a decade. So it is not implausible that something like that could happen again, and we might be seeing some of the early signals of that. That would be a challenge for all of humankind to have to meet.
How do we work around that?
Well, we may not be able to stop it. There may be nothing to actually be done about it. We may be able to diminish its effect, but the important thing is we're going to have to adapt. And the biggest adaptation we're going to have to adapt to is changed use of water and changed agricultural practices around the world to be able to produce enough food in a world in which the traditional agricultural systems will be highly disrupted.
Well, that's true, because I can imagine what would happen in this country alone that produces most of the world's food if for some reason we had a drought in the Midwest.
Exactly.
That was so devastating that the soybeans and the corn and the wheat wiped out for, let's say, a growing season.
Or two or three. And now, think Dust Bowl in the 1930s. But the difference today, of course, is that unlike the 30s, we have thoroughly tapped the underground water supplies, the great aquifers of the Midwest, the Ogallala, and that is already heavily used. In the 1930s, one of the ways we diminished the effect of the Dust Bowl was in fact to use fossil water. We no longer have that option. That water is now fully committed.